Turn in our Bibles to John chapter 10. It's a page 1140 in the Bibles in the chairs. And there's an outline for our assistance in the bulletin. And if you're inclined to use the outline and take notes, I have a couple things to share with you to add to the outline before we get started. The shepherd, which is point number one, is Jesus. The gatekeeper, I would like to suggest to you and hopefully demonstrate, is God the Father. And the sheep are believers. They are Jesus' own people, referred to as his flock. And we'll take a look at that. Also, if you could add a conclusion point down at the bottom, the conclusion is, behold the salvation of God. That will help us as we work our way through this. But before we read this text, let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessing of having the time to come together before you with your word. We ask that you would bless us as we do so this morning. We ask for the presence and the work of your Spirit to apply these truths to us and to our situations of life. We thank you for your great faithfulness in providing your word and providing a time such as this where we as your people can come together and to hear you speak. So we ask that you would apply these words to us and feed our souls, and grant us the grace and the peace and the comfort that we need to have from you, our shepherd. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, "John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true." And many believed in him there. We see much in Scripture, as I mentioned to the children, about shepherd and sheep. All the way from Abel in Genesis chapter 4 through the lamb mentioned in the book of Revelation, clear to the very last chapter, and numerous places in between. In this particular context, initially we see a reference to a sheepfold and the corresponding shepherd and gatekeeper and others. Sheepfolds were common in Israel because there were lots of shepherds. It's interesting in the Christmas story that the very first recipients of the message from the angels, other than Mary and Joseph themselves, in advance to Jesus' birth, were shepherds. It's even likely that those particular shepherds were providing sheep to be taken to Jerusalem to be sacrificed by the people of God as they came to the temple to worship. But in any case, we have this image of a sheepfold, which was basically oftentimes a structure built out of stones, a semicircle of sorts, maybe a rectangular, but created in such a way that it would protect the sheep when they were inside. Oftentimes they would use branches, sometimes thorns or thistles along the tops to prevent animals from trying to get inside to get a hold of the sheep. And then there was typically some kind of a gate or a door. In some cases, in simple sheepfolds, the shepherd himself or some other person would be the door and sit in the opening and prevent sheep from getting out and predators from coming in. In this case, it appears that in this figure of speech that Jesus is using, the sheepfold represents Israel. And we'll see that a little bit more as we go along here. We want to take a look at the shepherd, which is clearly Jesus. He mentions later, I am the good shepherd, and we'll look at that particularly here in a little bit. But Jesus is said at contrast to these others. A thief and a robber. In verse 1, we have the stranger that's mentioned later in verse 5 and onward. We have a hired hand who is clearly not a shepherd. He does not care about the sheep. And when there's trouble, he leaves the sheep and he flees. So that can be a problem for the sake of the sheep. But we have Jesus, on the other hand, who is not that way. In fact, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he literally says, I am the shepherd, the good one. And in this case, good is not a word which is in contrast to that which is bad or evil. It's the word for good in Greek that emphasizes beauty and excellence. And that his job is done to the fullest degree. And in this particular case, when Jesus says that about himself, and when we see the ministry of Jesus as conveyed to us in the New Testament, Jesus is clearly fulfilling God's promise in Ezekiel 34 that he himself would shepherd his people and provide for them what he calls the shepherd David, which clearly Jesus is the son of David. And so it's a reference to the fulfillment of God's promise. But as the shepherd, Jesus calls his own sheep by name. He knows them in such a way that he knows them by a name and by their characteristics. We look at sheep and we typically see they're all very similar. And unless you spend time with sheep or other animals for that matter, they all tend to look the same. But the good shepherd knows the distinctions. And in this case, it's likely that the sheepfold that we see here is one of those sheepfold that would hold more than one shepherd's flock at a time. And so the shepherd would come to the sheepfold. The gatekeeper would open to the shepherd. The shepherd would call his sheep. And in some cases, as it's mentioned in verse 4, he would physically bring his sheep out of the sheepfold. Then he would call them, and what's interesting is he doesn't drive them. We tend to think of shepherds driving sheep and having sheepdogs running around and barking, or, you know, even a guy riding around on a four-wheeler and trying to corral these sheep. In the Middle East, they didn't do that, and they typically still do not. They call them, and the sheep respond to the voice of the shepherd. And so the job of the shepherd throughout the process of leading sheep is to call them and to speak. And the sheep hear his voice and continue to follow him. Otherwise, if he's busy and doesn't call, they don't hear his voice, they can tend, like I was sharing with the children, to wander off and get separated. And so the voice is important in the whole process. And Jesus makes it clear numerous times that my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. They listen to my voice. And we'll see that emphasis as we go along as well. But initially, he calls his sheep by name. And then he leads them out. He goes before them. And then he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then as the shepherd, the good shepherd, he gives to the sheep. We'll see in a little bit, he gives his life. But initially, it's interesting, he makes this contrast in verse 10 between the thief and the good shepherd. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But then in contrast, he says, I came not to steal, but I came to give them life. I came not to kill, but I came for their life. And I didn't come to destroy, but I came to provide abundance for them, an abundance of life. In this case, it's interesting in this, we don't want to push the figure of speech too far, but normally it wouldn't be a good thing for the shepherd to lose his life for the sake of the sheep. If there's no shepherd, what happens to the sheep? But as we will see in Jesus' case, the giving of his life is what brings the life to the sheep. And it isn't just any life, it's eternal life. It's life wherein they will never perish. Now, I suggested to you that the gatekeeper is God the Father. Many commentators contest this idea, but it's difficult when you have a figure of speech or what can be referred to as an allegory or an extended metaphor, which is the picture Jesus paints, that you don't want to push all of the elements too far. But because this is so closely related to the rest of chapter 10 and the mention of the Father in these particular vantage points from Jesus' own lips, seems to suggest that it certainly could be the Father representative here. And part of the reason I say that is, first of all, the gatekeeper opens the gate to the shepherd. He doesn't open the gate to the thief or the robber. So he opens the fold to the shepherd. And in order for him, the shepherd, to get the sheep, the gate has to be opened, and he calls his own sheep by name. Well, Jesus goes on to talk about the Father, and he says in verse 15, the Father knows me, and I know the Father. So there's a relationship there between Jesus and the Father, which would suggest a representative relationship inherent in the gatekeeper and the shepherd. I know my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Verse 15. And Jesus goes on further in verse 17, and he says, the Father loves me. And the Father loves me because I am obedient. I lay down my life. Nobody takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. And this charge or this commission, this responsibility, I have received from my Father. So the relationship between the Father and the Son is very intimate, and Jesus is faithful in following the instructions of the Father to lay down his life for the sheep. And again, it's not normally a good thing for a sheep to lose their shepherd, but in this case, the laying of Jesus' life accomplishes something that nothing else could. And we'll see that elucidated here a little bit more. But then we have the sheep. And in particular, we have the flock, which is contrasted with the fold. And the flock is Jesus' own flock. It's Jesus' own people. And Jesus calls his own by name. And again, they know him, they hear his voice, and he provides for them something that no one else could. Initially in the analogy, he talks about being the door or the access that the sheep need to enter in order to be saved and to go in and out and find pasture. But to go in and out, they have to hear the voice of the shepherd, and they have to know and recognize the voice of the shepherd. And then that is their salvation, being connected to the shepherd. The shepherd provides for them, the shepherd leads them, the shepherd protects them from the adversaries. And that is their salvation. But we also see a contrast here with the Jews who corral Jesus, if you will, and try to force him to communicate to them about his status. And he says, well, you know, I've already told you all about me, and I've demonstrated to you that what I've said is true, but you do not believe because, in verse 26, you are not among my sheep. So we have Jesus' own sheep, and then we have those who are not Jesus' sheep. So there's a distinction made there very clearly. And yet Jesus says earlier in verse 16, I do have other sheep that are not of this fold, the fold of Israel. And I must bring them also. And when I bring them, they will listen to my voice. And so there will be one flock and one shepherd. And again, that phrase is a fulfillment of God's promise in Ezekiel 34. That he would provide himself to be the shepherd, and there would be one flock. But whether it be sheep of the flock of Israel or these other sheep that Jesus referred to, the sheep hear and they listen to the voice of Jesus, and they follow because they know his voice. They don't follow strangers. The question is, if we are God's sheep, do we hear Jesus' voice? Where do we hear Jesus' voice? How often do we hear Jesus' voice? Do we listen and do we respond accordingly? The other blessing of Jesus' sheep, Jesus' own people, those who believe, is the sheep are secure with the shepherd. Verse 9 says they are saved and they come in and go out, find pasture. They're provided for in that salvation. They have eternal life. We're told in verse 28. And that eternal life entails that they will never perish. It's an emphasis of what that eternal life is. And Jesus says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. But just in case there was a question in the minds of anyone, he says, and by the way, my Father has given these sheep to me. He's greater than all. And not only will no one snatch them out of my hand, no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Because I and my Father are one. We serve the same purpose. We serve the same security for the sheep. In Jesus' what we refer to as his high priestly prayer in John 17, prayed to the Father in this way. He said, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. So Jesus recognizes him having received particular people from the Father, and he's asking that the Father would protect them in his own name for his own glory. And so it's a reiteration of this security and just a confirmation that no one is able to snatch us away from God if we belong to him. In conclusion, we want to look at this, what we've called our Advent theme, Behold the Salvation of God. When Jesus made this statement, I and the Father are one, clearly the Jews became agitated over the whole business and they were ready to stone him. And initially they had asked him, how long are you going to keep us in suspense about who you are? Tell us if you're Christ. You know, get it over with. Just spill the beans. They didn't want him to tell them because they wanted confirmation for their own, you know, belief. They wanted him to say it so they could stone him. They were ready already. And Jesus said, you know, I already told you. But you don't have to listen to what I say. Just look at what I've done. Behold the salvation of God in the works that I've done. You don't like what I say, so at least look at what I've done. But then they are rarely ready to stone him. They have the stones in their hands. And so Jesus says, okay, so which of the good works didn't you like so much that you're going to throw stones at me for that? And they said, well, it isn't about the good works. It's because of blasphemy. Because you, being a man, make yourself God. What's ironic in this case is who's blaspheming? These Jews are saying to Jesus, you are simply a man. You are not God. Yeah, we see all the stuff you've done, but you've done that, as they've said in other texts, you've done that by the power of Satan. You've done that by the power of demons. You're just demonic. You're just deranged. Because actually, in reality, God made himself man. Jesus didn't make himself God. Jesus came to display the Father and to bring the salvation of God in fulfillment of promises after promises after promises that these people should have known. Are you the Christ? Yeah, just look and see. Are you God? Yeah, just look and see. Behold the salvation of God. Behold, I am the Son of God. It's interesting that this particular I am the Son of God isn't one of the seven I ams, but yet it reinforces all of those seven. In essence, Jesus is saying, I am sanctified and sent in the world to shepherd my sheep. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is calling his sheep. Have you heard? Are you listening? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has gone before his sheep. Are you following? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has given his own life to his sheep. He's given his own life for his sheep. And when you really examine it, the word doesn't convey it alone, but the concept is conveyed that Jesus gave his life instead of his sheep. Are you receiving that life? Have you received it? Will you receive it? In one of John's visions in the book of Revelation, he says this: "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?' I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" God the Father sanctified and sent Jesus to shepherd his people. Are you one of his people? Hear his voice and follow if you are. Let us pray. Our great and awesome God, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you that it is evident to us. We thank you that your Spirit has opened blind eyes to see that Jesus is salvation. Jesus has done all that is necessary and calls us to come to him to receive all that is necessary for our salvation and for our life and for the ability to never perish and never be taken from your presence. We thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. We thank you for your great comfort. We thank you for displaying your love in a way that you have opened our eyes to see. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.